There's a better place to get your podcast. GCNlive.com. Hundreds of thousands of hours. Archived for your listening pleasure. All free at GCNlive.com.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
Okay, so we're talking about Preston Nichols. Now, before we consider some of the things he says and this weird home in which he lived, Christopher, what kind of background does he have?
Okay, well, Preston Nichols' background is very enigmatic because we don't know. Every time you ask for a document of his academia, he says he can't produce it. Those documents were wiped. He does know a great deal about radio, about electronics. You know, it's just clear that he's well-read. It could be rote memory from books. I just don't know if his formal education, because he's never been able to produce a document for us whenever we asked.
There's no paper trail of a Preston Nichols that you could find.
But well, now that I'm getting this information from this person that I mentioned to you earlier from this chemical company, the names are in line with names that Preston had said in the past. You know, and there are technologies, just reverting back to Alfred Bielek for a second, that Al mentioned in 06 to me that I had never heard of and that I researched and couldn't find. And then, lo and behold, in the last couple of years, some of the things that Al said that were being used, like the Leviton train system, like the age regression, these things are not science fiction anymore. You know, Harvard study age regressed a mouse, okay, by 3 years. They did it recently. Now, as you know, when science moves exponentially, technology moves exponentially, they're going to be able to age regress a person someday. And those Leviton
train... better hurry with me.
Me too. But, you know, it's going to happen. So, I don't know. The stories that Al was telling aren't so crazy. And maybe the stories that Preston was telling aren't so crazy. And one thing that Preston said, and in regard, Chris, to what you were saying earlier, how erratic he is, and he is that way. But he explained it and said, you know, they don't kill you anymore when you put this information out. They just discredit you and make you look crazy. So is it possible that Preston is being messed with in some way and being made to seem like Doc Brown from Back to the Future? Possibly. You know,
but Doc Brown in Back to the Future was accurate. He was really a scientist who developed what he said he was developing, as crazy as he was.
Sure. But we associate someone like Preston with that. And whenever you hear Preston in an interview, he comes out with something very inappropriate that almost kind of sucks the credibility out of what he's saying. You know, you go listen to his last Coast to Coast interview and you'll see what I mean. When the camera went off in 2013, when I re-interviewed Preston, he was less erratic. And something that happened, and he knew the camera was off. It's like he totally knew that I wasn't faking it. I really shut the camera off. All of a sudden, he was lucid. He stood up straight. And he said, you know, Christopher, there's just some things I can't say when your camera's rolling. He was very different than he was when he was on camera. Leads me to believe that possibly maybe he is helping to conceal some things. Maybe some things are being let out in his speech. I don't know, because there's so many layers to something like this. It's not like you're exploring a Sasquatch sighting or, you know, we're going to look for the Loch Ness Monster with Jacques Cousteau. This is a different thing. If it is true, we're talking about hundreds of thousands of children that were murdered in the process of these experiments. And there's a lot to lose on the part of the people who ran this thing. Even after 10 years of me talking to everybody involved, basically, it's like you got nowhere. And my movie kind of ends that way, where I say it's analogous to a long road bordered by a dark forest on both ends. And it's endless. That's how I feel. I had to just step out of it. Because it's just this information being bombarded with, and you get nowhere after years of sifting through things.
Does Preston Nichols have any official claims about his background and work experience?
Oh, yeah. I mean, if you read the literature that's out there, Preston claims he did sound design work for George Lucas on Star Wars. He worked with Stanley Kubrick on 2001, A Space Odyssey, again, all undocumented. But again, Stan Kubrick was in New York at the time when he was making 2001, or in and out of New York, and so was Preston. And if you read about Stanley Kubrick, he did hire kind of fringe people to work with him every now and then on things. So it's possible that Preston was there and he went uncredited. Preston claims that he was absorbed by Brookhaven Labs first. He was hired. Is that possible? Yes. And then from Brookhaven, he went on to the Montauk Project. Both him and Alfred Bielek also claim that they had their memories, or at least their memories were attempted to be wiped, and then they started recalling their experiences at Camp Hero in the late 80s or early 90s. So again, they didn't remember this for a while. And they had a series of events that started to recall the memories. And the reason why they claim their stories are so convoluted is that it's coming from memory fragments. They don't remember everything.
Well, you know, I find it very interesting that he should be all twitchy and you know, just he's a fidget. And then when the camera goes off, he then appears normal. It's almost like he's putting on an act for the camera.
Yeah, and that was, if you know Preston, it's very strange of him to do, because he's usually consistent with that erratic behavior.
Well,
how old the guy is he?
Preston's in his 60s. Looks a little older.
Yeah. Well, I'm just really intrigued by all the characters. I think they're all, and as you mentioned, they have been fairly consistent over the years. But this Duncan Cameron character has always been, I think, a major problem for the claims. I seem to remember back in the 90s, didn't someone do a background check on him and found out he was an actor in porn movies or something? I've heard several things about him that don't quite wash. And, of course, his claim that he's actually a time traveler from the 40s who was Al Bielek's brother
Yes. In
the other body. It gets pretty kind of hinky and weird and, you know, to be honest, kind of head-scratching. So why don't you give us a little sense of Duncan Cameron and the alleged relationship with Al Bielek?
Well, okay, Duncan's part, allegedly, in the Montauk experiments was that he was a very powerful psychic. In 1983, Duncan was sitting in the Montauk chair, as they called it, which was used for various things. And Duncan, Preston, and Al got together and decided that they were going to destroy this project, end it, because the intention of the project directors, the people who were running the whole thing, their intention was to control the entire population with the now developed mind control. So in this Montauk chair, Duncan and Preston recalled the Forbidden Planet movie, you know, the monster from the id. And they said, we, with the chair's power, and Duncan's supposed to be this powerful psychic, we were going to bring the monster from the id into reality and destroy the project. And so that's what they claim they did. My interaction with Duncan Cameron is very limited, because I had contacted him. I spoke with him on the phone a couple of times, and he was interested in being part of the film, but he was elusive at the same time and said he didn't do interviews anymore, but I'll do this. I'll do it in 6 months. 6 months passed by. He didn't do it. So I didn't get much information from him, and I only have the alleged information that they say he was part of. You could see some videos on YouTube. In my opinion, they're quite silly from the early 90s with Preston and Duncan, at least the ones where they're touring the base and, you know, Duncan's naked and Preston's holding up a strip of black paper to cover his genitals. I mean, this is all kind of silly stuff, in my opinion. But the thing is, I needed to stay objective. And that was my approach to this. I wanted it to be very different than the information that's out there. So I wanted the audience to be able to not scrutinize, but to keep an open mind to voice inflection, facial expression, the things I ask you to see and look at and observe in the picture. So in regard to Duncan, he's not in it. His character is in it. I have someone portray him in a reenactment because of the story that Preston and Al tell. But I didn't get much from him. And again, his involvement in the Montauk Project, they claim he was hired because he was very powerful and that he could manifest ideas and thoughts into physical reality through the usage of this Montauk chair device.
I'm going to ask what that is in a moment, Christopher Garitano. is joining us to talk about the Montauk Project and all the wacky permutations. With Gene and KK, you're in
the Paracast.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on this special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, R-O-C-K-O-I-D-S.com.
Hi, this is Walt Augustinowicz. I'm the founder and CEO of ID Stronghold. By now you've heard our commercials about wallets that protect you from electronic pickpocketing. 10 years ago, I created a way to protect my own cards from prying eyes after government officials started talking about issuing a national ID card with a built-in radio chip called RFID. I felt having to broadcast my personal information was an invasion of privacy. Soon after, it was also announced that credit cards, debit cards, U.S. passports, hotel room keys, and even transit passes would all soon incorporate RFID. It was then I formed ID Stronghold to share my inventions in blocking RFID signals with the world. There are a lot of misconceptions out there today about RFID. I encourage everyone to get informed and get protected. Please go to IDStronghold.com and get the facts and the wallet, sleeves, or badge holders you need to protect your personal financial data. You'll be pleasantly surprised that through our direct sales model, you won't pay more than other comparable unprotected wallets. It is as though the protection is free. Visit IDStronghold.com today.
Serious investors and traders want to make an 81% return in 60 seconds? We can show you how using our free tool. Use the same secret algorithm professional hedge fund managers use to make billions of dollars in profits. Turn $250 into $4,903 in just 7 clicks of a mouse. Our tool is so simple, my 82-year-old grandmother can use it to make insane stock market profits. Best part, it's 100% free. Go to richmoneyrich.com. Watch the free video before the hedge funds make us take it down. Richmoneyrich.com. That's richmoneyrich.com.
Quantitative easing, unemployment at depression levels, Europe financial system falling apart, China getting out of U.S. treasuries. At the end of 2008, the time of TARP, the national debt was at $11 trillion, gold trading around $850 per ounce. Close to 2012, the national debt exceeded $16.4 trillion, gold doubled to $1,600 per ounce. The $20 trillion threshold for the national debt is inevitable. Politicians in Washington have a ferocious appetite for spending and stimulus. What's worse, a printing press to finance. 100 years ago, we had a gold standard to limit this madness, but now you have to adopt your own gold standard. Don't be fooled with paper promises. Get Midas Resources 10 Reasons to Buy Gold free by calling 800-686-2237. Understanding the gold and silver market may be the only insurance you could have to avoiding the next economic crisis. Call 1-800-686-2237 and order your free copy. Again, that's 800-686-2237.
If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS or state in back taxes, you know they'll never stop coming after you. With bank levies, wage garnishments, they'll even seize your home or business. The good news? A government program for tax debt forgiveness. It's called the Fresh Start Initiative.
I'm Paul Sibley. With U.S. Tax Shield, we can help navigate the new laws, get you protected, and resolve your tax issues permanently.
Call the experts at U.S. Tax Shield now for your free consultation and get a guaranteed quote to resolve your case. Call 800-436-6451. That's 800-436-6451.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
When there are two Christophers amongst us, our Christopher becomes KK. Christopher Garitano. Talking about the wild, wacky, and weird Montauk Project. What kind of chair are you talking about?
Okay, so this is a very prominent object in the alleged Montauk experiments. It's called the Montauk chair. It was described several different ways to me, so it was difficult to portray because I got a different story from each person a little bit. You know, it was slightly different every time someone described it. But it was a chair, like a dentist chair or sometimes a makeshift lounge chair, as Preston described it in the latest interview. It was hooked up to a device where if a psychic, well, it was used for many different reasons, but one of the reasons was that if the psychic, in Duncan Cameron's case, was laying in this chair, if he thought of an inanimate object like a glass or a baseball or an apple, even though that's organic, they could manifest it into physical reality. Then they started to work on animate objects like a mouse, and they said they got as far as Duncan thinking of a mouse, and then it was brought into physical reality through his thoughts and through the technology in the chair, and it was alien technology, that it would manifest this mouse into physical reality. So when the project got to a point where it seemed to be out of control, children were being murdered, and now they were going to bring this mind control and control the whole United States, possibly the world with it. So it was Preston, Al, and Duncan got together and decided to use the chair for good. This is the story that's told in the original Montauk book that Preston wrote. They avoided a lot of the boy stuff, the Montauk boy stuff, which I focused on in my film. They say that they got together and they needed to keep an image in their mind, something that would help destroy the project. So, of course, if you go back to the old movie Forbidden Planet, the science fiction film with Leslie Nielsen, they thought of the monster from the id. This was this energy monster in Forbidden Planet. So Duncan had the image of the monster from the id in his mind, and apparently they created it in our physical reality in 1983, August 12, 1983. The monster from the id came to life. They called it Junior. This monster destroyed the base, ripped up machinery, chased people around, scared people to the point where the Montauk Project itself crashed. And that is the story.
Sounds like it would make a great Hollywood feature.
Sure, and I'm sure it will.
Christopher, I mentioned before the show that I was riding into work on the number six train and read the article in the Times about the cats going crazy on Montauk. Now, that is documented. This figures as an interesting aside in, I think, the original book by Nichols, or possibly the Peter Moon book. It's been so long, I forget. But have you done any sort of digging into that? Do we have any leg up on what the possible cause of that might be? Why don't you explain, first of all, why people, the principals in this case, said that happened, and then any work that you've done to try to figure it out?
Yes, well, I have a direct story for this. I was at the Montauk Library, and I was really, I mean, I spent a lot of time there. I was really looking through their archives, trying to find something to go on. It was difficult. There's a lot of history to Camp Hero, as we both know, and it was listed as a covert operation because the military group that was there early on in Camp Hero portrayed themselves as a private fishing village to the people of town, even though the people in the town of Montauk knew there was something going on. So there was a story that people were having headaches and that animals were running all over the town and cats were freaking out. Well, I spoke to the Montauk Library archivist there, and at first, the natural reaction of the locals, some of them at the very, because I've heard all sorts of stories from them, but the natural reaction right away is to say, oh, this didn't happen, it's baloney, right? Well, that's what she said at first. Oh, you know, great, great stories, but never happened. I said, so you don't recall anything ever happening that was strange because of this Air Force base that was here? And then she contradicted herself and said, well, there was something. She's like, all of the television started going crazy one night, and everybody in town was having headaches. She said that the thing with the animals was not true, but however, this is from her perspective. Maybe she didn't witness animals going crazy. I'm thinking it's because of the SAGE radar tower, the semi-automatic ground environment radar tower, and all of the experiments that were being used with it, of course, affect animals, affect people, and affect electronics. So I think whatever was going on there was putting out extreme low-frequency waves or other types of energy coming from the actual radar, that it was affecting people. Another story that I got years later, and I actually just put this out, I'm putting out a series of deleted scenes because, again, you only have 2 hours to tell the story, and I tried to focus on the main guys, but I met a guy who charters fishing trips, shark fishing trips out in Montauk. He tells a story about, and I've heard the story from other people in Montauk, very similar one. When he was out shark fishing, it was a clear night, very late. They were on their way back just off the coast of Montauk Point, right near Camp Hero. You know, the stars were out and very quiet. And he said a vehicle, a ship, came from out of the water, hovered over the boat, changed in a rapid procession of colors, all sorts of colors, and then took off into the sky. And it's also the head of chamber of Montauk, head chamber of commerce of Montauk, also said a similar tale, that he saw a UFO floating over Camp Hero itself. So there's some credible witnesses to these things and these occurrences out there. And there's something to it, in my opinion, even though, you know, it's very organic. You know, people retract their stories, then they come back and they'll contradict themselves. So it really takes time because, you know, you or I, we go out there, investigate, and the archivist says nothing ever happened. So if we leave it at that and we go back home and write this, and she said nothing ever happened, the reality of it is something did happen. And I stayed there long enough and pressed her with more questions. She refused to speak on camera, but this is what she said.
Well, as is our custom here at the Paracast, we invite our listeners to post questions for our guest at forum.theparacast.com. And we do have some questions for you. And the first one I'm going to bring up is has to do with someone that you just mentioned briefly in passing, Stuart Swerdlow. And this comes from Chris Johnson, who's been a forum poster for a couple of years. And he says, interesting about your being on. There was a time 20 years ago that I was deep into this whole Montauk thing, having been turned on to it by a friend. I read several books by Preston Nichols and Stuart Swerdlow. I even went to 3 or 4 lectures in L.A. by Swerdlow and with his friend back in the mid-90s. And he says, strange, wild, completely out there kind of stuff. But he's wondering, does your film – okay, well, we've already answered that. But number two, he wanted to know if it deals directly with Preston's information, and we've already kind of covered that. But the second question is, does the film address the wide-ranging and seemingly wild claims made by the alleged psychically gifted longtime project participant prisoner in the program, Swerdlow? Did you talk to Swerdlow for the film, and was he able to verify any of Swerdlow's claims about the project, his involvement or claims he makes about himself personally?
Let's do our break, and then we'll find out what that answer is. With Gene and KK, you're in
the Paracast.
Independently leading the way for the nation. Compelling talk for every political persuasion. We are GCN.
Now, a twice as nice twin kit special offer from Complete H2O Minerals for all GCN listeners. Get a Complete H2O Minerals twin kit with 33 different minerals, vitamins, and amino acids all in a liquid form. Enough for 2 people for 1 month. Regular price, $89.95. But now Complete H2O Minerals is offering the twin kit for $69.95. And all GCN listeners receive a bonus 16-ounce bottle of ionic silver absolutely free with free shipping. A $120 total value. Hurry, limited time offer. Call 803-794-4767 or click CompleteH2OMinerals.com.
My name's Clyde, age 59, and I reside in Florence, South Carolina. The doctors diagnosed me as having clogged arteries. Felt like I was carrying heavy concrete blocks around my feet and legs. I started taking heart and body extract as directed. It is less than 3 weeks, and I'm like a young man again. It's unbelievable that an herbal formula can work so fast and so powerfully.
Learn the secrets of an effective, natural, 100% organic nutritional supplement for a healthy heart and circulation at hbextract.com.
Hi, Peter Vaccaro for ParanormalDate.com. Are you looking for love in all the wrong places? Now you have a chance to change that by signing up for free at ParanormalDate.com. This incredible dating site puts people of like minds together. People who are interested in the strange, the unusual, mysteries, ghosts, UFOs, and the afterlife, and so much more. ParanormalDate.com was developed for you. people seeking a viable alternative to the other dating services. You can join for free by going to ParanormalDate.com, and if you decide you like it and want to connect with people, use the code GEORGE for a substantial discount. Mark Rawlings, president of ParanormalDate.com, says so many people hunger to share their experiences about the paranormal, the unexplainable, or the afterlife, and so much more, and this is the source for them to meet and share that common interest. So sign up for free at ParanormalDate.com. ParanormalDate.com. And use the code GEORGE if you decide to connect with someone you like.
Are you excited about the World Wide Web? Do you want a place where you can share your ideas and express yourself? Well, dial up your modems and stream on down to the GCN Live Community Forum. Lots of radical features await you there.
Wow, Internet guys, I am so glad I went to the GCN Live Community Forum.
You too can discover why the World Wide Web is awesome. Just go to GCNLive.com/forum. That's GCNLive.com/forum. I'll see you in cyberspace. Friend GCN Live on Diaspora and Cross.tv.
You pick up the receiver. With your heart racing and sweat dripping from your forehead, you finally muster the courage to dial the number to call into your favorite talk radio show. It rings once, twice, and then...
Hello, it's GCN. What's your name and the city you're calling from?
Surprised you got through, you squeak out...
Jason from Minnesota.
Please hold.
As you patiently wait for your turn, you begin to daydream about being a famous talk radio host and what it would be like to have your own show.
Jason from Minnesota, you're up.
Millions of loyal listeners worldwide waiting to call and talk to you.
Caller, are you there?
Cheering crowds surround you, calling out your name.
Jason! Going once, twice. Okay, we gotta move on to the next caller.
You blew it.
Huh? Wait, no!
Interact with the host you're listening to right now online at GCNLive.com. Click on the community link. Engage with other listeners. Ask questions. Start debates. Don't agree with the host? Let them know. Be a part of the community at GCNLive.com.
Everyone says or does something silly once in a while, but once that embarrassing thing is on the internet, it can spread like a terrible rash. Put it to rest. Get a free expert analysis today from Reputation.com. It only takes 30 seconds. 800-831-0771. We protect your online image by helping to make sure that when people search for you or your business, they find the most current, accurate information possible. Reputation.com. Because word travels fast. Call for a free analysis today. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771.
Hi, this is Nick Pope. You're listening to the Paracast.
On the Paracast with Gene and KK and Christopher Garitano, who is writer, director, producer of Montauk Chronicles. What a fascinating subject. KK asked you a question. Do you have a response?
I do. Yes, Stewart is very prominent in the film, oftentimes even more so than the other subjects. And I spent a lot of time with Stewart. You know, he's the one that really had me make my decision, inspired me to make my decision to move forward, because whereas Alfred at the time and Preston very much so at the time were kind of erratic and telling all sorts of tales, Stewart was different. You know, you get to his house and it's a calm environment. He has a family, his children. He has a wife, intelligent guests discussing things. And that's what really kind of made me consider all of this as truth. Also, you know, Stewart has an organization right now called Expansions, where he claims to have the information that he learned in Montauk techniques that were used to control or that used to manipulate energies, and is now offering this as a way to use it for positive reasons, to defend yourself against, you know, the mass mind control that's out there, things like that. And so he has a great following of people that really believe in his information. In regard to Stewart's claims checking out, it's weird. It's another situation where Al was telling me about the technology. Stewart would make a claim that I thought in the beginning was kind of outrageous. Like, you know, you read Stewart's biography, it says he can speak like, you know, 10 different languages. And at first I was like, I had only heard Stewart speak English, but then spending more time around him, I actually saw him speak these languages fluently. So that's true. And that doesn't make him part of the Montauk Project, but a lot of other things check out. Okay, so in the case of Stewart's credibility and his background, you know, it took time, but a lot of things were checking out in his case. And he's somebody who I think, out of all of the men involved, has received the greatest backlash, the largest amount of ridicule, and has pressed forward with this information in great detail. He puts an enormous amount of effort into designing these seminars. So you have to take that into consideration. Usually, I've seen hucksters out there, and what they do is they'll take a great amount of factual information, mix it with the hodgepodge stuff, the hogwash, and then put it out into the world. So if people cross-reference things, they'll say, well, this is true. So it's associated with the lies, and he can get it out there. In Stewart's case, I've witnessed a great amount of effort and detail put into his seminars and put it into his thing. So I want to further explore that in the next picture. You know, to answer your question, I just feel like there's so much detail and so much time put into efforts by Stewart outside of just putting out books. It's just a constant thing with him that it must be taken into consideration that what a great effort to perpetuate a silly lie, if it is. I can't imagine anyone ever going to those great lengths, especially when it's not making Stewart rich. So I mean, it's just from my own observation for almost 10 years.
Okay, so is it your assessment then that Al Bielek, Preston Nichols, Stewart Swerdlow, they all believe what they're selling here?
I think for sure in Preston's case. I think for sure in Stewart's case. Do they believe it happened? Yeah. I mean, in Al's case, yes. But, you know, it always seems it's weird because if I were to believe these men, I must believe, and this is, again, after many years of researching, I believe that it's partly fiction. They may believe that certain things have happened. I think they're implanted in their minds. I think it was meant to be as a distraction from what really happened. I think some of the imagery, like the heroic crash of the project and all of that with the monster from the id, I don't know about that. I mean, is it possible? Sure, anything's possible. But I'm leaning towards this is such a one-dimensional tale, and it's such a Z-grade, you know, heroic science fiction tale that we've all read a million times. Like I said, wouldn't it make sense if a very nefarious operation did occur? Let's cover it up with this silly science fiction story. Make sure these men have it in their minds, you know, under the influence of heavy amounts of hallucinogens, that we implanted the alien stories. We implanted the monsters that are down there. And if they ever go and tell the tale, this is the tale they're going to tell, and no one's going to believe them. So I did consider this possibility.
Just one thing before we get another listener question in, and that is, that's a theory that's also voiced about UFO sightings in general, that many of those sightings were made up things, partly due to mind control, partly due to test aircraft.
Yes, very much so. And I believe that. I believe that, you know, just like men in the Air Force or in the Navy might get their hands on a piece of technology and try it out and horse around a little bit, I think that possibly we did get our hands. We reverse engineered some alien technology. I believe that's a possibility. And that once we established our own vehicles for our own Air Force or whoever, you have to try them out a little bit. So maybe some of the abductions were our government trying out these craft on our own people.
I had a source that claimed that, and his story was quite believable. Plus, my cat, who never went near any males in her life, had been abused by the builders of the house as a kitten. When this guy walked in and sat down on the couch, this cat, who for years I'd never even petted once, ran across the room and jumped right in his lap. It was quite bizarre. That impressed me more than anything.
Wow.
And this guy claimed, Wayne Holland, he claimed that he was the guy doing the computer punch cards, filling out the number two pencil marks on the computer punch card during Air Force My Labs in the 70s in the Midwest, but I digress. Anyway, here's a question from the Wraith, who's been a member of the Paracast for a couple of years, and he doesn't post much, but your guest slot brought him out of the woodwork here. He says, I understand that Mr. Garitano delayed the Montauk Chronicles so he could add footage of one of the experiencers featured in the film, a seemingly younger man than Nichols et al., who claimed to be a victim of an ongoing extension of the project. I have to say, one of the most shocking, impactful parts of your documentary is when this man explains how a doppelganger of his father abducted him, took him to the base at Montauk, and cut off his own face in front of him and then put it back on. The man seemed very sincere and actually quite bitter and enraged over his experiences. Can you explain how you found this guy and what convinced him or convinced you of the veracity or at least the plausibility of this guy's claims?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I had a completed version of Montauk Chronicles, another one, because I started this project in 06. There was one completed version in 2011. Then I completed yet another version in late 2013. And that's when I was approached by James Bruce, as he requested to be called, on the internet, on social networking. He wrote to me. And, you know, I had other people write to me at that time. And I wasn't really interested, of course, in delaying my movie again. You know, I put myself through a lot to do that. It's not like, you know, you had money coming. I was doing nothing but spending and spending time making it. So it was something about him. I don't know. I felt it in my gut that I needed to at least speak with him, and I thought I was going to just use it as kind of like an extension, like I've been putting out recently, just little, you know, extra scenes, things to bring people, bring their interest into the picture. But after sitting with him for a little while and my own instinct, I realized this guy really believed that this happened. And again, it's not like I don't trust this guy's imagination enough to make these things up. But I was convinced that this is a man who witnessed something and was giving me the details the best that he could. But it didn't sound like a guy who was making something up. It sounded like he saw this stuff. Now, could he be crazy and he imagined all of it? Sure. But he even when I tried to shake him a little bit and I took him out to dinner and I wanted him to tell me again, this guy is always on, always telling the story. He doesn't stop. And, you know, you would think that if someone's telling a lie, he would relax, you know, when you're having a beer at dinner and we're trying to try different subject matters. I mean, I when we discuss different subject matter, I know that this guy has a history of things that are kind of in line with what he's talking about. And it was just something about him that I decided to press forward with.
Let's do our break here. Christopher Garitano. More to come with Gene and KK. You're in
the Paracast.
Independently leading the way for the nation. Compelling talk for every political persuasion. We are GCN.
Graphic Converter is the image manipulation tool for the rest of us. It does not use any database. You get full control of all your files. Want to view the images of a folder? Drag it into Graphic Converter and a powerful browser opens up to show your image files. You could use it for slideshows. You could use it to import images from digital cameras or from scanners. Need to do some image editing? You can do that too in Graphic Converter. Also, print catalogs. Convert from so many formats I can't even list them. Download now to see if Graphic Converter is good for you, like 1.5 million other users. Guess what? You could save money when you buy Graphic Converter. Use the coupon code NIGHTOWL. Use the coupon code NIGHTOWL to get a special price for Graphic Converter. Go to LemkeSoft.com. That's LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
We've been patiently waiting. Waiting while you tried to ignore us. Waiting while you acted like we didn't exist. Waiting for our chance to be taken seriously. The wait is over. GCN is available 24/7 at GCNlive.com. Navigate through news from your favorite host and download archives of past shows. Download the app on your smartphone or tablet or visit GCNlive.com for instant access and live streaming. GCNlive.com. The future of talk radio. Now at your fingertips.
We the people.
There are hundreds of silver products on the market today, but there's nothing like the astonishing health benefits of the multi-patented One Silver Solution. Boost your immune system at a great price with our Silver Solution Liquid, starting at $12.95 a bottle. Now available in regular and extra strength. That's half the price of the leading competitors. Call 844-USILVER for your free catalog, or go to OneSilverSolution.com. OneSilverSolution.com. There is only one Silver Solution.
Are you tired of commuting to a job that makes someone else rich, working harder than ever, but getting nowhere? Do you hate spending hundreds of dollars every week on daycare, having someone else raise your children? With our opportunities, you can start earning money as soon as next week. You get to be the boss, work from home, and live a happier life. At Be The Boss Network, you'll find hundreds of work-from-home opportunities that you can literally start today and be earning money as soon as next week. Go to freedom106.com and start earning money as soon as next week. You get to be the boss. Get out of the rat race. Work from home. Go to freedom106.com right now and change your life today. That's freedom, the number 106.com. Go to freedom106.com and start earning money as soon as next week. You be the boss. Go to freedom106.com.
Hey, Berkey Guy here. Are you still drinking unfiltered tap water? Does your water contain chlorine or fluoride? Will you have drinkable water in an emergency? The Berkey Guy is here to help you remove these and other potential contaminants from your water, thus helping you drink clean, purified water. We offer Berkey water purification systems at the lowest available prices online. Don't go another moment without Berkey system. Over the last 10 years, we've helped thousands drink clean, purified water. Join them by visiting GoBerkey.com or call me, the Berkey Guy, at 877-886-3653. That's 877-886-3653.
Hey, this is Marie D. Jones, the author of This Book is from the Future, and you are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
With Gene and KK, we have Christopher Garitano, and we're exploring the Montauk Chronicles about a place, an Air Force base now shuttered, where they allegedly engaged in mind control experiments, maybe reverse engineered alien technology. It almost sounds like the vision of Area 51 moved east. Let me tell you about another vision, the vision of After the Paracast. We have a second radio show called After the Paracast, and it's available strictly for Paracast Plus members. You go to plus.theparacast.com to find out more. And After the Paracast is 25 to 40 minutes in length, open-ended discussions. Sometimes we feature interviews. Sometimes we continue the interview started on the Paracast over there. So, for example, last week we interviewed Micah Hanks of the Graylian Report. We continue that interview on After the Paracast. If you want to hear another 40 minutes of him about different topics, go to plus.theparacast.com to learn how to subscribe and to get set up right away. plus.theparacast.com. Christopher Garitano is here for a few more segments discussing his film. Now, you mentioned also you've got another film in the works. Is this like Montauk Chronicles 2 or something?
Yeah, I have a couple of projects in the works. One of them is something I'm calling Ghosts of Montauk, because I feel like you had 13 years of information that you're trying to squeeze into 2 hours. And I shot so much footage. I had an endless amount of interviews. You know, I interviewed locals, but I needed to focus in that 2 hour period on the men, the main men who claim that this project occurred, and their story. And that's what I did. So it was partially told by the men themselves and then partially told by the reenactment sequences, which I also researched to the best of my ability. There's not much to go on in terms of detail, you know, and I wasn't going to shove a lot of conjecture in people's faces. So Ghost of Montauk is going to be the proper continue of this story, the proper furthering of this story, and I won't retell the tale. I'm going to go into further ideas of what James Bruce was talking about, and the gentleman earlier, the man he was referring to. Also, things that Stuart Swerdlow has now brought into the world, that there are people from all over the world that are literally subscribing to Stuart's techniques and following it as a philosophy, which is fascinating to me. So that's going to be in Ghosts of Montauk as well.
Okay, so let's just take a look at what we have here. You have three people in this film. Do you find anyone other than these three people really supporting the essence of the claims here?
There are a lot of people now, and again, it's difficult. You have to be very cautious because I know there are a lot of people out there that want to believe. They want to believe in everything. And I do too, but I offer a great deal of caution because how are we ever going to really find the truth in things? And especially in this case, remember, this is a covert operation that is claimed to have murdered, you know, hundreds of thousands of people along during the 13-year period. And you have to be very careful as to what you're researching, number one, and what you really want to believe. Because if that is possible, guaranteed that you're in big trouble. And that's what I've been going on all this time. So I've always tried to stay grounded researching this. And I've always tried to stay objective. And I never subscribe to anything without a great deal of information or a credible witness.
What about the Freedom of Information Act? Have you made any Freedom of Information requests to get background information on the base?
Well, I made suggestions to the subjects, and I always wondered. See, back in 1995, there were a lot of people that claimed they were part of the Tuskegee experiments as victims and the MKUltra experiments. So Bill Clinton publicly acknowledged to a degree that these things happened, and people went before Congress. So the one question that I've always had is why didn't Preston Nichols or Stuart Swerdlow or anybody else involved approach Congress if they really are victims of this situation? Now, Stuart's explanation is why approach the enemy who will never reveal the truth, and I understand that. But in the case of 1995, even though there was a small admission to the thing, if you're sensible, you understand that if they admitted to it a little bit, if Bill Clinton came in front of the American public and said, this happened, but it wasn't us, it was the un-American Americans that did it years previous, something even worse happened. You can guarantee that something worse happened and that MKUltra did occur as the victims explained it. And it's very similar to the things that allegedly happened at Montauk. So I hope that if there are victims out there and they were part of this project, do what Christina Cola did in 1995 and the other people who were experimented upon in MKUltra, approach Congress. Even though they might not admit it fully, something can happen. And that's what I'm hoping happens. So far, nobody wants to do it.
What about a lawyer filing a legal action against the government seeking recovery of damages because alleged mental cruelties or physical cruelties?
I would be interested in that as long as, of course, an alleged victim is willing to do that, and I'm still waiting. So I can't do it. I wasn't a victim of the Montauk Project, but I want someone who was part of this to approach me, and then I would love to document that whole situation. Even James Bruce at this time refuses to do that because he says, you don't understand. Everything is controlled. I don't want to let them know. And he also claims that he's still a Manchurian candidate. I mean, he claims that he's still being assigned for assassination missions. So the story is so elaborate and so vast. It really requires you to take great caution as you're going through it. Otherwise, you'll believe anything.
Now, looking back, and we have a lot more to cover in the next few segments, do you ever have reason to regret making a film on this among all the possible topics you could have selected?
At times, while I was making Montauk Chronicles, I did regret it because it was strange. I was absorbed by the whole world. After a number of years working on one subject matter, it swallowed my whole life. My whole life was consumed by it. I didn't just do this on the weekends. I did this. So I was basically towards the end of the stretch. I was a sojourner. I had nowhere to really live. I spent all my money, everything, my personal life was falling apart, my health was falling apart. I was really that obsessed with getting this thing finished and getting it right. And a lot of it had to do with the subject matter. You know, when you're, because I'm not only the director, but I'm the writer and the cinematographer and the editor and the special effects artist of the movie, you know, in terms of visual effects. So when you're working in that way in post-production on a film, and only people that have done this understand, you're seeing things thousands and thousands and thousands of times over, sometimes in a 3 or 4 day period. So it's so repetitive, and you're just bombarding yourself with this information on a constant basis. And there were times that I felt a little insane working on this thing because the information was just so constantly being bombarded into my mind.
Do you have reason then to regret doing this kind of thing?
Not at this time, no. And I did at that time, I had feelings of regret because I was stuck so deeply in this thing, and it was going on so long, and my life was kind of falling apart. And again, you know, I'm talking about it now, but I'm not making a big thing out of it publicly. I'm moving forward with my life onto another project, and I am interested in continuing this investigation, just with caution. I'm not going to go out and claim the governments of the world are so dangerous that they can just wipe us out in a second and then go and mess with them. So I have to be really careful. If I believe that, then I have to be careful. And I always question the people who claim they believe, but then they're out there poking the shark. And, you know, it doesn't make any sense. It's like you don't have any protection. You're out there poking this very dangerous beast. And so is it, do you believe it or you're just crazy? You know, like and I'm cautious with this stuff. I want to be careful as to what information I'm putting across. It's not like I'm going to censor myself if I find proof, but I have to do it with protection. If I discover that this thing really happened and I have documented proof, you know, rest assured, I have to be really cautious about what I put out in the world.
But just making a documentary, they could say, well, it's just fiction. It's just a docudrama. No problem. But also, if someone takes action against you for revealing things you shouldn't reveal, here we go, 3-1. If that were to happen, that would only draw attention to the project and what you're saying.
Yes. It all depends on what kind of attention you want. I'm a filmmaker first and foremost, so my entry into this situation was quite innocent. I just wanted to make a movie about paranormal. But after years of working on it, it became an obsession of trying to find some information because, you know, out of all of the paranormal mysteries out there, I would say the Montauk Project is quite thin in terms of information. You know, the information and the stories have grown and augmented and changed over the years. You know, there are a lot of people out there that claim that the conjecture is evidence, but it's not. That's why I haven't repeated a lot of it. But I did allow these men to tell their tales, and I did illustrate them. And I wanted the audience to make their decision on what this is, on how they feel about it. Even as a study of the human condition or a study of behavior, whatever you want it to be, it's fine by me. But I want you to observe as I observed.
Christopher Garitano, producer, director, writer of the Montauk Chronicles. More to come with Gene and KK. You're in
the Paracast.
Minds think alike. The network for the independent minded. The Genesis Communications Network. GCN.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there's The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
So here's what happened. I was placing an order online. The site went down. It just stopped responding. It took hours before it returned, but I'd already placed the order with another company. If your site goes down, you could lose business. And if you have a business or personal site, you'll want to know it's easy to run and it will stay online. At iWeb, your site is hosted on one of the most reliable networks in the world. Check it out. iWeb.com. That's iWeb.com.
Sciatica, lower back pain, hip pain, poor posture. If you suffer from any of these problems, get ready to relax. Introducing an amazing product that's been in the market for over 25 years, the Sacro Wedgie. It was invented by a football coach using a common sense osteopath technique. He created this device to help his athletes by isolating and supporting the sacrum, which is the keystone of our anatomy. This wedge-shaped bone is in the center of our hips, where a lot of pain starts. Simply relax 20 minutes daily on the amazingly simple Sacro Wedgie and let gravity do the work, helping muscles rebalance and start releasing nerves. Sit in the Sacro Wedgie at the computer or while traveling to help correct posture to finally help relieve those stubborn aches and pains for only $33.95. It's made in the USA, so click the family-owned website at sacrowedgie.com, spelled S-A-C-R-O-W-E-D-G-Y.com, or call 1-800-737-9295. That's 1-800-737-9295. Relax your back pain away with the Sacro Wedgie.